All right. Welcome to the City Council work session for Tuesday, February 25th. Calling this meeting to order. Moving to item two, topics of discussion. We'll start with outdoor wood burning boiler discussion.
Thank you, Mayor, Council members. So Mayor Heineman and Council Member Peters had requested a discussion regarding the outdoor wood burning boilers. There's recently been some concerns about potential air quality for a specific resident especially, and some could cause some underlying health issues. So here we are tonight, we're just going to discuss a little bit about it. There are a number of residents in the city of Ramsey that do use the outdoor boiler systems in our rural areas, their primary heating system. And a lot of them will also use wood-burning fireplaces, wood-burning fireplaces too as heating sources during the winter months. And this, of course, is just to help burden the cost of other fuel sources. Again, it is common practice in rural communities throughout the state. And we do know we have a number of them in the rural area here in Ramsey. In the past few years, it's become more of a health concern for, I'm not sure if it's a few residents, I know one in particular, in regarding to it, concerning from the smell of the wood burning outside and coming into their house, and then sometimes the constant heavy smell of, like, smells like burning illegal materials such as green tree wood and trash. Chief Kohner today had said that they had gone out to the property, I think, a few different times to look at complaints of illegal burning, and they didn't see any signs of burning illegal materials. So the police department's also got a few complaints to same property regarding it too, just the smell of it and such. So Ramsey's code has very minimal regulations regarding it. Really, it just says that the boiler has to be set back 75 feet from the line, property line, can't be in the front yard, and you can't burn. There's a list of illegal materials to burn, but that's all we have in code with it. These type of burners, they do require a mechanical permit. They don't need any other type of permitting, building permit, but they do need the mechanical permit. As of lately, we haven't had any requests for them. So we know that. We don't know if people are just putting them in illegally or there just hasn't been any new installations or anything. We went through some records, too, and we didn't really find anything of permits in the past either with them, any type of mechanical permits. So.
You said we only have a few regulations. The one in question meet those few regulations?
They do.
Okay,
great. Yeah.
Right.
Is there a certain lot size?
There isn't, no. Not in our code. So this has been a concern for the EPA and MPCA. And back in 2020, they actually set some pretty strict regulations regarding, like, new stoves, even new furnaces that go into houses and stuff. They have to be EPA certified. And the certification means that it meets clean air standards. They generate less smoke. They burn more efficiently, burn hotter. You don't use much wood. All that sort of stuff. But again, it's only the new stoves that are certified. There's no updates that you can do to older stoves or anything. You literally just have to buy a brand new stove that is certified. And again, that's a requirement. So I talked to a person at PCA too, and she had said as well, you know, they do get some complaints from people from local jurisdictions, but they also work with local jurisdictions. They do have, like, model ordinances that they use, and you can make it as strict or not as strict as you want. I mean, they provided me with a draft of an ordinance, and I believe that I put it in your packet as well, but they just said some of the, obviously more of the rural communities, they're pretty open with what they can do. But they do require usually permitting or making sure that the lots are on a certain size, certain acreage and such. But so just to start the discussion with it, you know, to give staff direction, you know, is this something that you would like to see as is, how it is, or is it something of maybe putting some more regulations in place, such as lot sizes, or making sure any that are installed now have the proper permitting? Not sure how we would do it, but just to begin the discussions.
Before we start, I don't want the food to go to waste after you were so kind to bring it, so if people want to help themselves as we discuss this, we should probably do that, so it doesn't just get cold.
There's plenty, so I would love if you guys joined us, too. I know that Brian had already mentioned that. Everyone said that they're okay, but go ahead and go grab some food. I know you want some food.
I already ate, but thank you.
You can always have some protein.
No one's going to say anything.
I just want to preface, I signed on to this because I met with the resident and I did drive out there one of the times and it was pretty strong smoke. However, not a huge fan of adding regulations, but I do want to find maybe a happy medium where we can not punish people for using what they already have and we don't know economic status and maybe they save a lot of money and they need it, but at the same time, smoking at your neighbors isn't the greatest option either, so I'm open to creative solutions without necessarily pounding somebody with some government regulations. Go ahead.
I agree. I was thinking, you know, similarly that I don't want to see us become over-restrictive because we don't know why they're still utilizing that. I know we've mentioned, like, rural spaces, but at this point, like, I'm not sure if we are rural enough to really need this. There might be other options that they can hop on to something else. I would love to see if there is like some sort of strategy for us to understand what the price difference would be if they were to not use those anymore. But I did take the time to also pull up that model, you know, policy from the MPCA as well as other ordinances in other cities. And I noticed that a lot of folks have at least at the very least prohibited the installation of new outdoor burners and boilers after a certain time period, and so maybe that's something that we do so that we're not necessarily constraining current use but we're not allowing further installation. And then maybe also I've seen ones that like they mandate that there's certain chimney heights, so then it's extending past like the highest peak of the residence and making sure that it's really getting out and, you know, above the homes. And then Burnsville has like a more concise one about like its language around what's a nuisance and like health and safety, but I think it's because they did kind of utilize the MPCA's model. So I'm pretty open to what I, you know, what we're talking about. I want to make sure that people feel comfortable and healthy in their home. But also know that we have to be mindful of the person that's using it also, and I don't know if we've gone to that person and talked to them and got their side of it either.
The users,
yeah.
Who are burning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not.
So I think that might be.
So from a staff perspective, I don't see why we would,
because
okay. They're not violating any code. I would look to the neighbors to, which doesn't happen that often anymore, or just have it in the conversation.
Our names are on it. It's fine.
But yeah, you know, unless there's a true code violation, I don't know that staff would really have those conversations to understand why, per se.
When the police and fire, sounds like fire, maybe police too, arrived, was there any atmospherics that you guys, I guess, question for you if you are familiar with the situation, like, or Brian, if you spoke with them, did they have any, like, yeah, it smelled really bad and this is abnormal, we couldn't find evidence? Because if you burn straight firewood, you shouldn't have that noxious of smoke. Well, if they check it out and they don't see any signs of wood of pallets or green treated wood or particle board, I don't know what we do there, but I'm just curious if there's continuity there.
I know, speaking from fire and talking to Chief Conner, they've been out to at least this resident that brought it up, most specifically in this case, the neighbor, one of the neighbors at least property a couple times, and you know, when they get a complaint like that, they'll go out and they'll look around and look for, you know, obvious signs of there burning construction materials or something like that, and that wasn't the case. You know, Conner did share today, like, the leaves, you can't just burn your leaves, and when they go out and that's happening, it has to be extinguished immediately. So I would assume that if it is found that they're burning unauthorized materials, they would put it out immediately.
I had the same experience out there. Got on my truck right away, and I was just like, that is not a wood smell. That was like a chemical, plastic burn, or something like that. Opened up my truck door. That was the neighbor's yard. It was terrible. And I also watched videos on how the new ones work, because I couldn't really find a salesman. Because I wanted to see them. I wanted like someone trying to sell me one. Get me on this one. The newer ones shouldn't have anything coming out of the stack. Yep. They burn so hot, there shouldn't be nothing. But I've seen these run before, and these things are like old choo-choo trains, you know, just in the middle of the neighborhood, like Harrison was talking about. It was maybe the stack height needs to be changed. Maybe find a way. Like I want to be able to find a way to put people in compliance. I think it's easier, more respectable to put them into compliance.
The problem is they're currently in compliance.
Yes, but if we, you and I both saw, like, smell, there's something going on there. And we're maybe authorities or something. And we're the only authorities that caught it, you know? But I didn't see anything being burned when I was out there.
And that's kind of what I was asking. They showed up, they said there was no signs of burning, but did they say if it smelled weird?
Yeah.
They just said it was wood smoke? Yeah, I cannot confirm or deny if I've ever been around somebody that burned a piece of particle board. But there's a weird smell to that, and that's kind of what I was getting. But I also don't want to pass a regulation and impede somebody's right to burn wood if it's, you know, circumstantial. So, I don't know. Dan, what do you think?
I assume there's some pretty big restrictions on those grants we do for water stuff. We couldn't do some kind of grant for a newer wood-burning stove or something?
Yeah, I don't know if it would apply. That specific program would apply to wood-burning stoves, but we can look into, there might be something out there.
Because, I mean, I definitely lean towards, you know, I don't want to pass more regulation towards it. I don't let people do that, but I understand this does seem to be an issue, so.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is, we can't prove it either, and so.
Up until a couple of years ago, they did have grants for people updating their stoves, but they don't have it anymore.
That's a shame, because that's one of those things you kind of want to upgrade in your neighborhoods.
Yeah, it looks like Minnesota residents may qualify for a discount on pellet stoves through the Stove Swap program, up to $1,500 or $3,500 if they qualify for a low income.
And on those
you
things,
you can't force it. Though.
No, you can't, and I don't want to, but I just wonder if they can replace a stove for a more efficient stove. I don't know. Maybe it's sending out a mailer to the neighborhood saying, "Do you know this is an option?"
Or just make sure we reiterate, an education purpose, make sure we reiterate what the city code is, like what you can and can't burn, and making sure they understand. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe they said, I can burn everything. You know.
How do you ever, I guess from the police scale, you just see scraps or like burned charred or something, or how would you even begin to enforce that? Or
you have to catch them in the act.
Does fire show up and march onto the property?
They'll take a look around.
Frankfurt, you'd probably, I mean, if you get a call, concern like this.
Yeah, if we get a call in and you got smoke or you're trying to find where the source of the smell or burning is coming from, we're going to go search around and try to determine where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, as far as forcing our way through to get to it, I mean, if they determine that there's more on the fire side, if they determine that there's something back that they need to investigate, yeah, they might do a little bit more.
They have the right to just go back there. They don't have to go through any legal process.
I mean, if they think that there's potential for, you know, some type of harm or injury, then yeah, they can investigate that.
Okay.
And that's what Chief Kohner had stated today too in our management meeting, is when they go out there, they'll walk around and they'll take a look and see what they can find.
Okay. Chris?
Well, I don't love the idea of going on anybody's property just forever, but I kind of like the idea that was brought up here of just send out just a, this is what our ordinance is. That's not saying anyone's not following it. That's not accusatory. It's literally just saying, these are our rules. And if there's a couple, few around that we would kind of think would be a good idea, I'd like that. Because then it says what you can and can't do, like for the burning, for instance. And if you just didn't know, you can't pay it out. Okay, but if you just didn't know, now you know.
Also the presence of, I'm assuming if they were doing the wrong materials, the increased amount of calls and the investigation from the police and fire may stop that. They may think that somebody's onto them and just naturally stop. So, maybe it will resolve itself. I just, I co-signed onto this one just because it would smell pretty bad. And like I said, I don't want to push regulations, but maybe there's a way we can educate. And then I guess my last question would be, do you have to, if you're going to circulate some sort of PSA, does it have to be citywide, or is there anything against doing specific areas it's affected in?
Well, one thing I was thinking of is maybe in the next Ramsey resident, too, that'd be a very good article. Is to
just wrote that down.
Yeah.
Put
that one together. Identify maybe some grant programs that look like they're fairly consistent. Maybe they're not open right now, but hey, watch out for it and swap it out before the next heating season comes.
Mark.
Here, Council, definitely not my wheelhouse, but as someone that's heated with wood my entire life, just something like adding a flue section, very, very cheap, and that 4 foot might just be enough to increase the draw and then at the same time disperse the smoke.
Yeah.
So my observation is a lot of people that have the boilers, they put them in place, they'll add the section that comes with the boiler, and that's all they do. And it is literally very cheap, whether it's Class A or otherwise, just to add another 4 or 8 feet. Just like regulation for your fireplace has to be 10 inches or it has to be 12 inches or whatever higher than within 10 feet of any other part of your roof. That's just to get it up higher, and then you have the atmospheric draw that carries the warmer smoke up and away.
I think that's somewhere like what I mentioned, and I'm still not opposed to like also it's preventing them from people from putting new ones in. And I looked at another city that I looked at is La Crescent, and the existing stoves prior to the ordinance of now the prohibition of installing or fixing even or operating outside wood stoves, they have that. They may continue as non-conforming use but are subject to nuisance regulations, and so I guess if we do determine what nuisance means, then we can still at least do something about the current issue, but without doing too many constraints.
Did you say there was a ordinance that you've seen that talked about nuisance and defined
it? Burnsville, let me pull that up. And I can send you all the ones that I pulled up. I pulled up South St. Paul, Oak Park Heights, Chisholm, Burnsville, Breezy Point, Jenkins, and La Crescent.
Wow, very impressive.
I read a kid's book about fire go up. It was interesting.
Fire hot, don't touch.
Yeah, I learned a lot. It was
every year you go through it.
Outside of maybe just some PSA type efforts, do we want to look at any type of code amendment to?
Is this something that EPB could take on as maybe a discussion? Is this in their wheelhouse? Feels like it is. They just have a discussion to see what they believe it too. I mean, that's their advisory council. They should be advising this, right?
Yeah, maybe kick it to the EPB. And like I said, I'm not a fan of adding regulations, but I also think we should be transparent. And if residents are coming to us with something like this, we should at least show our due diligence that we're taking that seriously. And maybe we'll learn some stuff along the way, like grants that are available, and somebody gets benefit from it. I don't think we can make this resident completely happy. I mean, he was suggesting
all sorts of stuff.
State health department comes in and there's some stuff that I don't think is plausible. But I think showing that we're listening and learning, I think, is important. There's plenty of food up there. You guys should. Rich?
I am very.
Do you have what you need on that one, then?
I believe so.
I do. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for preparing that.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, it'd be interesting your staff recommendations too. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know you come East Bethel, maybe a more rural area as well. Do you know? Did you have that kind of issue there? Did you hear that a lot?
We did not.
All right, we'll move to item number two, North Star commuter rail legislation.
This was a last minute add, so we but it got done in time. So we do quarterly meetings with North Star Group and other cities that have rail stops in their jurisdictions, and last Thursday we had one, and they shared with us that there's some legislation in North Star. And I know it's been talked about through the years, but caused me to look into it a little bit. They had a hearing at the House level yesterday to hear more specifically House File 269, which would discontinue the North Star Rail completely. And then House File 749 is kind of a, if 269 doesn't happen, 749 parameters in place that would, in essence, have the discontinuation happen. But kind of high level where this sits is there's traction by a lot of different parties to discontinue the North Star. Both Met Council and MnDOT are jointly saying that we can implement other services that can be more effective and efficient, cheaper, all that stuff. So legislation has some strong legs this year, it sounds like. And in essence, what they're looking at is discontinuing the North Star and replacing it with bus services at this point, or figuring out what that might look like. Nothing so far.
How'd they fit on the tracks?
What's that?
Good question. Fair.
Nothing really that's been said so far is just to completely remove public transportation. So kind of looking tonight to council to see if we want to have a formal response or continue to monitor it. You know, we do have some investment into the infrastructure outside across the road from City Hall. It was done many years ago now, but the parking ramp has spots available for the North Star. You know, obviously we wouldn't be looking to demo the parking ramp if the North Star goes away, but we're financially partners in this in some fashion or another. So kind of looking to see council and what your guys' interest is on providing a formal comment. Right now, the House Bill 269 was sent to the House floor. All indication right now is it's not going to any other committees. Doesn't mean it won't, but looks like there's a play to try to get this thing passed as soon as possible.
Chris? I don't think it much matters what the city of Ramsey says or thinks. I think especially when MnDOT and Met Council is essentially lining up against it. I think it's
I would agree.
Unless we have, like, we don't have any debt with our improvements, do we?
Technically, yes, we do. Yet it was all funded through interfund loans and will be paid back through the TIF proceeds through the years, which it's 2040 at this point. But you know, that's one thing that popped into my mind is if it does go away completely and there's no public transportation, you know, is there a way we can ask for some reimbursement of those funds, knowing that we did put money into it and now it's not being used for its purpose, or original purpose at least. If we did, I don't even know how feasible that is, but you know, we could in essence repay back those interfund loans and maybe decertify the TIF district earlier and put all that back on the general tax rolls.
Well, if we're out of time, Kirsten.
I like the idea of maybe not making a comment so we don't get ourselves entangled in something we don't need to, but at the same time, are there citizens that we feel will be unable to get to places that they think that they need to be if they don't have this? And are we like advocating well for them? Or is there some way for us to like have like a touch point with citizens that do use that commuter rail that don't feel like the continuation of service is going to like inhibit their quality of life a little bit.
Is there a way we can get in touch with residents? Possibly, we don't know who's using them necessarily on a regular basis, but back to Councilman Riley's point, reading the room and what I watched yesterday in the committee hearing and some of the joint statements coming out from MnDOT and Met Council, it sounds like it's pretty much a done deal. The joint statement, I think that was released today or yesterday, it did have in there, we're going to work to make sure a service is available. Again, everything that we can see right now says something will remain. I know some staff here partook in the post-pandemic study that was completed in 2023, and I think it was that study they estimated like bus routes would take only about 10 minutes longer than the commuter rail, so from a timing standpoint and commute times, it's not drastically different, and I think that's where this has been in process for a number of years already to kind of build the support of saying busing is almost just as effective and it's far cheaper.
Language to be like, we don't have a horse in the race, but we are dedicated to ensuring our citizens have access to,
I think maybe it's another Ramsey resident.
Yeah.
If it gets knocked down, it's just information on the Ramsey resident saying the light rail is being discontinued. Here's your resources. Here's other transportation.
In the study, there's probably a headcount. I didn't get a chance to look at it. Have we ever done a headcount? Like to see how many people from Ramsey are actually every year?
They have, I think, in one of the three studies, there's probably numbers that are coming from the Ramsey station.
Yeah.
But Ramsey residents, I don't know that it tracks it to that.
Okay.
So.
Yes, as someone who used to take public, I used to live in D.C., so I used to take to the Pentagon every day, and it was subsidized by the Pentagon because they don't want all those people on the road, and B, there's not enough parking spots for everybody, so they subsidize. They paid like 75% of my punch card, not sure. And I think if there was more stops for this North Star line to go on, I think there'd be more people that would have to do it. I've never even ridden on. There was a chance where I was going to get a job downtown where I was thinking about it, but I never got a job. So it's a shame.
Yeah.
Hey,
Ryan. I think it's a nice thing. I wish it was cost effective I wish it was cost effective, but I don't think we should get involved or put a letter on or anything like that. And it's kind of writing on the wall. And in the reality, and these studies are older, like you said, really post-COVID, but I know one of the articles I read they were subsidizing at rates of like almost $13,000 a passenger during that time frame just because people weren't going downtown and things. It's just not economically a good idea as a taxpayer in Minnesota. So I wish it did work well and things, but I've used it for the Twins game, and that was fun. But
Do that anymore, do they?
Yeah.
They stopped doing that, or did they start doing that?
They stopped and they started again, and then they.
Yeah.
I don't think we should do anything. And it'd be nice for residents if the buses come and things. So.
From a police perspective, was there any uptick in crime due to that? Are we seeing more or less incidences?
I don't know if we can put our finger right on it, saying that it was attributed to the light rail or anything with North Star. So nothing that totally brought it. I mean, we get a couple people that might be out here that just like, why are they out here?
For sure.
And that was their transportation. But
yeah,
you also see it the other way where we're contacted all the time because people want to park in the parking ramp, take it down, and go to the airport. The majority of it was for sporting events, but.
I would tend to agree that we don't make it into a fight, but if we were going to say something, I think it would be we've invested into this and we want our money back. I don't know how to articulate that or that that's even an option, but I'd say if we were going to have a response, it would be that we've invested into this and we need some sort of compensation. I don't know if that's feasible, though.
I mean, we can start those conversations and see if that's part of the discussion. So, is it safe to say we would want to advocate for a bus stop to replace if it goes away?
Yeah, I think we have the infrastructure. We pay for it. Any other points of discussion on that one? All right, everything you need. All right, item 3, remote public meeting attendance policy.
This is an item that was hanging out on our future topic list for a while. I think it kind of made it on there really from the notion that we had a policy in place and then COVID hit and that policy was amended and we want to change it back, change it at all. Generally speaking, you know, it doesn't always go perfect, but at the same time, it goes pretty smoothly how we're set up to do remote attendance. And you know, like tonight, we've got a couple people just kind of monitoring. If residents wanted to join in and listen to the work session live, this is really the only option for that to occur. Otherwise, QCTV does air the boards and commission meetings live. Council's well. Obviously, there's no interaction ability from QCTV standpoint, but so curious on the thoughts. Right now, the policy does call out an unlimited number of remote attendance options are available to council members. It doesn't call, you know, I think it restricts down to at least one member should be present in the regular meeting location, but we haven't run into that issue. Usually the issues that we run into are more on the remote attendees and connections, things of that nature. So the draft policy that I did include in the work session packet really just adds some definitions and matches state statute a little bit better than the 2020 version, and that's just because state statute did get changed a couple years ago. But largely the requirements behind the draft version to the 2020 are the same.
Comments or strong feelings on this?
What's interesting?
Yes.
I know I remember in 2020 when I wasn't a big fan of the unlimited, but it hasn't really been abused or anything. I mean, I do know we have some planning commission members and they could go, you know, south and just do it remotely, and that seems fine. Yeah, so I mean, I guess that's the only thing that kind of came to mind there. You know, if you want to leave it unlimited or not, but you know, obviously, in circumstances like going overseas in the military, it's a very good thing, so.
We'll hope that doesn't happen again. Okay. Anybody else? I tend to agree. My only issue would be if it's being abused, and I feel like this current group isn't going to, and the last group isn't going to. I don't know of anybody that has multiple homes across the country and is.
There's other avenues to address that issue.
Yes,
know, so.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
If I had that, I wouldn't be here. Just let you guys know that.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's
really sad and hungry.
See a need to update it just with some definitions, or do we just run with the 2020 version? I mean, reality is we have to conform to open meeting law requirements, whether it's in policy or not.
You do feel like 2020 matches the state law pretty well? We don't add anything on top of it, right?
It's close enough. State law really gives the option, and then our policy dives down to more than how many members can be and things like that.
Okay. And does it still say you have to be in like a public place and you have to publish like where you're going to be and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's all state law. So
that's if I can, Mayor, that's the fiction of this, because you know if somebody's off on vacation somewhere, you know, in the Arrowhead or wherever, they go, the public is more than welcome. But the problem with that is you're actually supposed to publish that address too, and that's a little bit problematic. And so I think people were thinking that because of the somewhat more flexible rules that were put into place during the pandemic, and were, I think, very successful. I think they were pretty much everybody was saying this is a good thing, and actually, if anything, increased public participation and all that kind of stuff. But they were hoping that they could just apply those in the future, and the legislature said absolutely not. So we're still dealing with that fiction, which it is. But otherwise, there's no other real difference.
Just gotta keep doing what we're doing, unless we're told otherwise, I guess.
That one, you guys just drafted a new one, right? Is that what that draft was?
Yeah.
Okay.
It took the 2020 version, left all the parameters in place, but added some definitions and kind
I'm
of reformatted a little bit.
I think that one's more clear, to be honest. I think more is more. But I'm not the same person as everyone else, so I'm totally okay with what everyone else wants on us.
Well, yeah, I think the draft is this. To your point, just more transparency.
Yeah.
Gives people a little bit more to read and to understand. So the changes being minor and bit illuminating some more of the harder to understand parts, I think the drafts are great.
Okay. You can bring that back to next meeting for adoption. Ward was not my friend that day I was drafting this, so there is some formatting issues, but we'll get that.
Looks great.
The only other thing I was thinking, the only recent incident, I know one of our council members was driving to a location during it, and we said they couldn't, he or she couldn't attend remotely because it wasn't a fixed location. All that's still staying, right? There's nothing we can do.
Yeah, that's all, it has to be open and accessible.
So even if the windows are open and you're driving or something.
Yeah, by rights, it should be a physical address. I think Howell used it a little. Couple of times.
You say names to your buddy up here. Don't you say names? I stayed without a name.
That's fine.
Technically, if you're like at a hotel, you're supposed to be doing the meeting inside the lobby too, right? It goes down that far, I believe.
I think that's the gray area of what's open and accessible.
Yes. I mean, it has to be someplace that the public can access.
Yeah.
It might be a business room or whatever they have, but other people need to be able to go in and see it. I have never seen instance where somebody actually showed up.
Right. I posted my address in Bahrain and nobody blew the list.
Then some tampons.
Well, my own defense, I was here.
That's true.
I hate Bahrain.
Right. Everything you need on that one then?
Yes.
Alright. Blew through those. On to item 3, topics of future discussion, review of future topic/calendar.
Start with the future topic list. Did update it since the packet was posted. Didn't realize the recycling contract discussion dropped off. That was planned for this evening, but staff had some out of the office days and things of that nature, so we'll push that back to the next meeting. We added budget discussion, so as you guys come up with great ideas to talk about, know that we start that, and those are very work session heavy starting in July. So boards and commission interviews, we are planning to do those on March 18th. We're still toying with the start time, whether it's at 5:30 before Public Works Committee or try to get Public Works Committee done at a halfway reasonable time and do the interviews right after. But
just on a side note, I'm just found out I have to travel 9 months here to my new job, location Delaware, so I won't be here for that.
Okay. So how many does that make us?
I think that still gives 6 available. So
isn't somebody else not going to make it? I think Shanna said she's going to make it.
Double check that. If we did want to look at a different date, it would pretty much have to be that same week, just when applications close, and then when we bring them forward on the March 25th meeting for approvals, so that way they're in place on April meetings.
And although we're not required to have a quorum for that, are we?
No, not technically.
We want to, but we're not required.
Question on that one. I've only been on that side of the interview process for that one. Is there some standardized questions that we use? Because I may not be aware of, if somebody's interviewing, we should be asked questions about EPP and EPA and stuff like that. Or is there some standardized questions?
Yeah, we leave the questions broader just because of the way we ask them to rank their choice. They're really applying to be on any board, but then we ask them to kind of give their favorites. I would say there's some one-off questions that get asked that are more specific to that candidate and a board that they're most interested in.
HR will be present, so that way.
Shuffle.
Right now, I think we're looking at up to 9 interviews, 7 new applicants, and a couple returning applicants, so those ones go a little bit quicker. But
how many positions?
I don't know.
It's quite a few, I believe.
But,
like two on planning. At least one or two.
We'll probably have 5 or 6 openings.
Yeah.
And we haven't reached back out. We've got a couple applications that have been just sitting in the file for a little while to see if they're still interested. So we may not even have the full 7 new members.
Do we do anything with the Charter Commission, or is that separate? Do they do their own?
That's separate. That's all. The most we do is we advertise that there's openings and they can turn their application into us, and then we forward it to the judge.
Yeah.
Apply directly to the judge and pump it out to us as well. But I remember that one.
Is it the chief judge that appoints, or which judge appoints?
Like, really?
I forgot about that one, but now I remember.
Yeah,
it.
The judge.
Right, but the chief judge of the municipal district, and then there's.
Right,
it's
really big.
Yeah.
I think I got their name one time.
And then, we get a letter back from the judge that says, here's your new Charter Commission members.
Yeah, that's right. I see one of them on here, just a point of clarification, not to pick on anybody too much, but May 27th discussion, or not 27th, minutes approval agenda location. Is that the one that you were talking about, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not certain, but it sounds like it, yes.
I think that got added just from the discussion. If you guys want.
Did you have a second for that? Dan? Perfect.
My idea was not a big thing, but do we want to approve the agenda before we start the agenda? So kind of just agenda discussion.
I remember that was like at the very end of the conversation, because you laughed about adding something with that, so I just want to make sure we have a second.
I didn't say that.
So we want to bring more of an agenda layout discussion as soon as possible? And just...
I need 5-10 minutes, I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah, take long. That's all of the formal future topics. And then you can see we've got the secondary topic list that, as you guys have ideas, if you want to shoot them over to us, we can add them to this list, note who shared it, and then you guys can work off of that to partner up and tell us to get working on it.
So just to clarify what we talked about last meeting, council members and myself should be looking at this list. We feel that we should be, this is something we're interested in, we should be reaching out to that council member so we can send a joint, please add this.
Yeah. Okay. That would be the cleanest, to give staff the best direction to start working on something more in-depth.
And I feel like before we get to, that doesn't stop us from, like, Kirsten could take one of these and reach out to one of us and say, hey, Perfect. Do you want to team up on this? So if you feel something on this list is very important, don't hesitate to reach out to somebody you think you might have a consensus with. I don't think you have to wait for somebody to look at this list and to come to you, but this is just kind of the, hey, these are my thoughts, who wants to talk about them? So I just don't want anybody to think that you can't talk about them unless somebody approaches you. You can reach out to some people. And then obviously if you're speaking to 2 other people already and a 4th reaches out, just tell them you're already working with somebody else and you can't talk about it until it's on the agenda. You have something?
Nope.
Somebody has something? Oh, yeah, you had something.
I was just going to mention, maybe my recollection is wrong, but I thought that I was going to draft something for those topics as well to send to Brian, to send to people if people wanted more information, or should I just be purely like bugging people's ears on this?
We're open meeting probably just one-on-one, just everybody, I don't know.
I would say use your best judgment, and if you think that you have to convince a council member to sign on to it and you need to present them information, then do that. But if you feel like you don't. Maybe wait till it gets on the list to prepare it. Otherwise, you're going to be working on a bunch of stuff, and maybe three of them don't. There's not consensus on, and then you kind of waste your time. But I would say, looking at this list, there's probably somebody that's going to be happy to work with you on these. So I don't know. I guess you can front load the work, or you can wait till somebody shakes your hand on it and then do it. But
I don't
know if that answers the question.
There's some on there that I don't know if people like. I put weight stuff on there. Is that would be something that I'm assuming most people haven't done like research on it. So it might be like behoove me to like share that out to folks and like the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
I used to manage union contracts. I used to manage union contracts. I'm all familiar with that.
Yeah. There's a big correlation to wage theft and trafficking, so just for people's awareness, that's kind of a partial reason why I'm wanting to bring this to folks' attention.
All right. Anything else?
All night?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was going to be...
Hey, what's up, Brian?
Play some hacky sack or
something? just last quick item to know. I have an email that shows we've got the water treatment plant that's nearing the end of construction. Something that's pretty standard is to put a plaque on the wall recognizing those that had a lot of involvement, recognizing the council who were in... generally, it's in office when the facility or what have you opens. But with the water treatment plant, we're like, man, this thing's been in the works for many years. How do you show respect to those that really sent it and kicked it off the ground and everything like that? So put together the list, looking for your guys' feedback. Sorry, pointed out I had a typo. We'll proofread this before it goes off to whoever makes the plaque. But recognize the 7 current council members, some key city staff positions, and then special recognition to former Mayor Kuzma, council members Westhoff, Musgrove, and Howell. They were on as the project got awarded. And then former city administrator Kurt Ullers and public works superintendent Grant. They were heavy in the earlier design parts, as well as all the utility department staff weighed in on some fashion. So kind of thought it was a nice way to do what's pretty standard, as well as give special recognition to others that put forth effort in this. So
how are we deciding the order here? This is pretty controversial. You know? Matt's
order,
before Chelsea and Deborah. Deborah was on first, but Chelsea was at large. I'm just like, how do you figure out?
So the order, I actually did think about it. So Mayor, Councilmember Westhoff was Ward 1. Musgrove was Ward 4. And then Howell was at large.
Usually at large is earlier. Like up above, we have Riley, Kristen.
We can put Howell first.
I don't know. I'm just
the mayor.
I'm having a hard time, dude.
Looking for
we got to get his time up, so.
He's just getting over.
I think it's a great idea to add the former members and mayor on there. Just out of parliamentary procedure, maybe you put the at large first because you put the mayor first. I mean, that's how we do votes and things of that nature as well. So
at large is actually last. For votes. Votes. The mayor's last. The mayor's last.
I thought you were sending. I thought it was going to
bro. I'm just saying because up here
no,
you got
I know,
you got
I
at large.
I thought
top,
it was starting
right?
with the wards and then going.
I mean, Deborah's given most input in it since she was here.
She's probably going to put hers in.
She's probably
going to
care the most. You should platinum letters. I like that. Can mine be gold, little diamonds?
I don't care what good. Order. You guys make that call.
I like your plaque.
Let's do the mayor. Howell, okay. Westhoff, and Musgrove. That's mayor at large, 1-4. I'm just going to say it because somebody else is saying it. We don't need to sit here and think about it for too long.
Oh, yeah, plenty of time. Too.
Unless anybody disagrees.
That's fine. Just make sure you spell the name right.
I think the names are correct.
Do you want to put Brian maybe below the other staff?
This is the first work session that's done this early.
Should we throw more stuff on the docket just because we have time?
We can't.
It's an advertised regular meeting. You can add stuff to the agenda if you choose.
Oh, we promise each other we'll be good people, though.
Promises made, promises kept.
Can we really add things to the agenda? Like, add the meeting?
It's just a work session, so I feel like we're not doing anything, you know, like, too controversial. We could talk about it and, like, make no actual movement on it, right?
Well, it's that, or we just end early and hide for a half an hour.
There's some more food. There's some more chocolate.
Yes, we can do Riley's agenda.
Chris, how's the new police chief and your new captain working out?
We won't let him know what you say.
On record. No, things are going well. It's nice. He's fitting in, doing his job very well as the chief. Kind of laying down some of his guidelines and rule, or what he expects from everybody. It's been a nice relief getting the second captain in there to spread out the work that was there when it was just two of us doing three jobs. So seems to be getting there, and now if we can just get our two, if not three, police officer positions open and get back to full staff, that'd be the better part.
We're working on it.
Yeah. Thank you. Anything from the Parks Department, Parks and Rec, that we should be?
Cut me off guard. I'll use this as an opportunity to say that if you haven't signed up for Abby's recreation program update, please do so. Just send her your email, and so we highlight everything that's occurring in the near future and then a snapshot of the year ahead. She does a really good job of making it readable, so she issues that once a month, and so that list is growing. So it's an effort to reach out to folks and tell them what's available. And we're working on everything else, as you might expect. Art fair coming up will be rolling into the previously acknowledged, former council acknowledgement that the Ramsey Community Foundation has funded a community art plan that they want to offer city council. And so that will be coming forward probably around June in a draft form for council members to vet or acknowledge or provide input on. So we're excited about that. And the community art plan will help us think about what we do in terms of community art for hopefully someday the waterfront in terms of sculptural elements, and then also set us up real good for external funding from like the State Arts Council, and then also be a mechanism to help our private business community think about community art. We have a lot of public spaces in our boulevards and plazas and so forth, and so we'd like to encourage the private sector to step it up a little bit and have appropriate public spaces. So I think it'll kind of capture all those disparate elements and give us a plan or wrap a bow around it.
Okay. How is the utilization of that rink in the core, just right outside of the apartment?
Yeah, I wouldn't say lackluster. We have had some use of it, but it's a little windswept out there. We didn't really have a good idea for a wind block. Mm-hmm. But part of the reason for doing that is when we're flooding, when it's not super cold out, like at the beginning of the year, when our staff comes in, we flood 24 hours a day, so the overnight folks, they don't have effective things to do when they're out with the water truck while they're waiting for the ice to freeze. So then they can come here to the second rink location and put down ice, and then 40 minutes later be back at Central Park to flood those rinks. So that was a reason to try it again.
Okay.
I liked it as an idea.
We did get some acknowledgement and a couple thank yous, but it wasn't over the top.
Is there a liability for using the pond and the draw for ice skating? Is there? Because that would provide a windbreak, and it'd be a nice little area to ice skate underneath the bridge and stuff. Is that an option at any point?
We had plowed that. In terms of a liability, I'll say no. As long as we're diligent about checking and being smart about it. That particular location, we have thin ice underneath the bridge from reflection from the sun, mm-hmm. and then there's a storm sewer line that runs underneath there, so we have thin areas. Mm-hmm. But we've used it successfully. The challenge is actually getting down that slope. Mm-hmm. that previously, years ago that is, every other winter, Pack Charter School had an outdoor ed program that their Phi Ed teachers had done. So in the park, we had done with them Quincy huts and then plowed off the ice and they skated. So I think they've put a pause on that. But so we have made use of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan. One question I just remember from when I worked at Microsoft, we had this big training because we got fined as a company because we forgot to added a line to say how to unsubscribe. Mm. Is that really an issue? Should we? I know there's in Abby's emails. There's no way to. I mean, it's just a silly little thing. But at the end, just say, you know, if you no longer wish to receive these emails, please reply with unsubscribe in the subject or click here or do.
Dan, I've talked to her about that, and I think that she has communicated that to folks, and there's been one or two that have asked, and she just simply unsubscribed them. But I think that we didn't have a mechanism readily available to have that automated.
Sure.
But I asked her that, and I think she had a good answer for me, and that's probably why I don't remember what she said.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm just putting that up. So.
You don't want to feel bad and email her back and say, take me off. You just want the...
I like them.
Anything else from any of our other staff we should be aware of?
Any new lawsuits coming up?
Yeah.
No. Just want to sue anybody?
Just set off a clean bill of health on the letter to the auditors.
That's kind of fun to have the state auditor come someday to talk to us about. I don't know, fun. That was not maybe the best word.
No, we don't want the state auditor looking at us.
Just got to see rats and lives here.
I know.
You just got to distract her with stuff. She's fine.
Yeah. No, but to the attorney's point, we're finishing up, or we're working on the audit. They were out here for a few days, a couple weeks ago, doing some prelim work. They'll be back in April, and then they'll put everything, wrap it up in a nice bow, and come and present it to all of you in June. Right after that, we start budget. So,
easily one of the most exciting meetings of the year.
All right. Any mayor, council, staff input that has not already been discussed? If not, we will adjourn.
Wow. Got a whole half an hour.
I know.
We can do anything we want.
We can do activities.